For those of you who don't know, I just moved here from Slave Lake, Alberta. And it's about a tenth of the size of Nanaimo. Small town. Small town. The thing is about being a pastor in a small town is that everybody, well, I shouldn't say everybody, a lot of people know you. So when you go to the grocery store and get chocolate syrup, I mean, why else would you go to the grocery store, right? I didn't realize we were going to have feats of strength first thing in the morning. There we go. Thank you. No, all the way down. Yep, thank you. So I would, you know, go to Timmy's and I could see people give me that double take, like, wait a second, I know you. Because my face was in the newspaper and people just know me from around town and that sort of thing. You know, big fish, small pond kind of thing, right? But the thing is about being a pastor in a small town is you don't have the luxury of, you know, raking someone over the coals when you're unhappy with something. You know, I can't go to Timmy's and get mad because they didn't get my coffee right or something. I can't just, you know, tear a strip off them willy-nilly, you know, unlike you. I'm kidding. I'll get to that. Just hold on. People knew my beliefs, but they were watching my actions. Now, in case you didn't get the joke, this is not unique to pastors. You, as followers of Jesus, have this same thing. As soon as people in your family knows, people in your workplace know, people in your neighborhood know that you follow Jesus, guess what? They're watching you, too. They're watching your actions. And this was never made more important to me than one time in a church that I served. I had this man who'd come up to me after the service, and he'd tell me, oh, that was a great sermon, Pastor. I love that. That was wonderful. And you'd really think that this guy was dedicated to the Lord by the way he spoke. He talked about his faith, how important it was to him, and so on and so on. And so for me, I'd love to turn a slide. There we go. So for me, if we are going with a cat analogy, this guy was Puss in Boots to me. Okay? Nice, kind, you'd think his faith was everything. Now, but here's the thing. In the community, I knew a different story. And people would tell me that this guy was so miserable to work with, they said they don't even want to work with him anymore. In fact, they said, if this guy goes to your church, I don't want to go to your church. And if this is what Christians are like, I don't want anything to do with it. So for me, he was Puss in Boots, but in the community, he was more like Scar. Sticking with the cat analogy here. See? That was real clever. Now you can go home and tell everyone how clever that was. Okay, so the point is, and even though none of us are perfect, and I'm not picking on this guy at all, the point is our actions matter, right? And I started a series last week about my values, and we talked about, first of all, compassion over rules. Today, we're going to talk about deeds over beliefs. And this is really important. I looked at a comment made by a student in Kentucky. And ask yourself this question. Which is more important, belief or action? This is what she said. I want you to become someone I want to grow up to be like. I want you to step up and live by the Bible standards. I want you to be inexplicably generous, unbelievably faithful, and radically committed. I want you to be a noticeably better person than my humanist teacher, than my atheist doctor, than my Hindu next-door neighbor. I want you to sell all you have and give it to the poor. I want you to not worry about your health like you're afraid of dying. I want you to live like you actually believe in the God you preach about. I don't want you to be like me. I want you to be like Jesus. That's when I'll start listening. Which was more important? Our beliefs or our actions? So here's the thing about our actions. How we live our lives, followers of Jesus. Well, you're familiar with movie previews, yes? You're familiar with movie previews, yes? Some of you, okay? You do get those in Nanaimo, right? So a movie preview tells you about, you know, what this movie's going to be like and everything. Well, your life is a preview for people. They're watching you to see what their life would be like if they were to come to Christ. So, if you live your life filled with joy and generosity and humility, compassion, and you're non-judgmental, they think, that's the person I'm going to become. You see where this is going, right? You also know the opposite. If you live a life where you're grumpy and critical and stingy and angry and self-centered, they're thinking, that's what I'm going to be like if I come to Christ. Isn't Christianity, though, about what we believe? Isn't that what the whole thing is all about? I mean, isn't the most important thing that you believe Jesus died and rose again? Well, I'm going to answer that question. We're going to discover deeds over beliefs. We're going to go to the book of James for fun. And this is what James has to say. Inspired by the Spirit, this is what he wrote. Well, for those of you who are following along, we're in the second chapter, starting in verse 14. He starts off this way. What good is it, dear brothers and sisters, if you say you have faith, but don't show it by your actions? Can that kind of faith save anyone? And the answer for a lot of followers of Jesus is yes. As long as you have the right beliefs, that's all you need. Well, let's keep going. What happens? He goes on to say, he gives an example. Suppose you see a brother or sister who has no food or clothing, and you say, goodbye and have a good day, stay warm and eat well. But then you don't give that person any food or clothing. What good does that do? So you see, faith by itself isn't enough. Unless it produces good deeds, it is dead and useless. Now, he's not saying at all that we're saved by our deeds. He's not saying we're saved by our actions at all. Otherwise, we wouldn't have good news. The gospel wouldn't be the gospel. But he's saying genuine faith, genuine beliefs will produce deeds. Otherwise, it's an empty faith. He goes on. Now, someone may argue, some people have faith or beliefs, others have good deeds. But I say, how can you show me your faith if you don't have any good deeds? I will show you my faith, my beliefs, by my good deeds. Some may say, well, this is a matter of giftedness. I mean, I have the right beliefs and you have good deeds. So it's all right, you know, it's just share and share alike here. But then he goes for the jugular, and I love this part. This is fantastic. You say you have faith, for you believe there is one God. There's a belief. You believe there is one God. Good for you. Now, in case you didn't catch it from this, someone may say that sarcasm is the lowest form of humor. If someone tells you that, you can tell them it's biblical. If you didn't catch that, that was sarcasm at its finest. You say there is one God. Good for you. Apparently you don't find that as funny as I do. I think that's hilarious. Right in the Bible is sarcasm. Great. Oh, man. Good for you. Even the demons believe this, and they tremble in terror. How foolish. Can't you see that faith without good deeds is useless? You have right beliefs, he's saying. Whoopity-doo. The devil has right beliefs. Demons have right beliefs. You can go down the list of things we're supposed to believe. Did Jesus die on a cross? Yep, demons would believe that. There's one God? Yep, demons would believe that. On and on and on. The list of right things to believe. But beliefs need to transform our lives by allowing God's leadership in our lives. Amen? He goes on to use this example. Don't you remember that our ancestor Abraham was shown to be right with God by his actions when he offered his son Isaac on the altar? You see, his faith or his beliefs and his actions worked together. His actions made his faith complete. And so it happened, just as the scriptures say, Abraham believed God, and God counted him as righteous because of his faith. He was even called the friend of God. So you see, we are shown to be right with God by what we do and not by faith alone. Interesting, did you notice he said that, he said Abraham believed God, not Abraham believed in God. That would have been a right belief. But he believed God. There was some action to it. There's a difference between those who believe in the Bible and those who believe the Bible. Oh, you guys are really thinking deep this morning, I can tell. Woo! All right. This is good. Good deeds will accompany true belief. Good deeds will accompany true belief. Just as the body is dead without breath, so also faith is dead without good works. Beliefs need to be accompanied by surrender for there to be application. Now, we're going to do something fun. How many of you grew up singing the song about the wise man who built his house upon the rock? Do you remember how to sing it? Well, let's find out. Okay, so here's the first verse. We can get to it. Oh, I was supposed to mention deeds over beliefs. There you go. There it is. All right, now, the solid rock and the sinking sand. Isn't that a nice picture? All right, let's see if you remember. So how about the key of D sounds about right for this. Are you ready? The wise man built his house upon the rock. The wise man built his house upon the rock. The wise man built his house upon the rock. And the rains came tumbling down. The rains came down and the floods came up. The rains came down and the floods came up. The rains came down and the floods came up. But the house on the rock stood firm. Well, that's not bad. Sounds like you guys might remember it. Now I'm going to change a slide while I play. That's right. That's worth a hand. Apparently not. The foolish man built his house upon the sand. The foolish man built his house upon the sand. The foolish man built his house upon the sand. And the rains came tumbling down. The rains came down and the floods came up. The rains came down and the floods came up. The rains came down and the floods came up. And the house on the sand fell flat. There you go. So last verse, you ready? Are you ready? Okay, here we go. So build your life on the Lord Jesus Christ. So build your life on the Lord Jesus Christ. So build your life on the Lord Jesus Christ, and the blessings will come down. The blessings will come down as your prayers go up. The blessings will come down as your prayers go up. The blessings will come down as your prayers go up. So build your life on the Lord. Now, the thing is about that song is it almost completely misses the point of what Jesus taught about. I know, it's too bad. It's a really catchy little tune. And I have to say, for all those of you who are listening on the internet right now, I apologize for what just happened there, because all you're going to get is my voice, and, well, what can I say? But here we go. So this is what Jesus actually taught. Why do you call me Lord, Lord, and do not do what I say? As for everyone who comes to me and hears my words and puts them into practice, I will show you what they are like. They are like a man building a house who dug down deep and laid the foundation on rock. When a flood came, the torrent struck that house but could not shake it because it was well built. But the one who hears my words and does not put them into practice is like a man who built a house on the ground without a foundation. The moment the torrent struck that house, it collapsed, and its destruction was complete. Jesus told this story about people who had right beliefs. They called him Lord, but they didn't apply what he had to say. They didn't put it into action. That's what the story was all about. You'd never get that from the kids' version. Doesn't talk about application. But this, Jesus wasn't the only one who talked about this idea of application. John also talked about this. And he said this: and we can be sure that we know him if we obey his commandments. If someone claims, I know God, I have right beliefs, but doesn't obey God's commandments, that person is a liar and is not living in the truth. But those who obey God's word truly show how completely they love him. That is how we know we are living in him. Those who say they live in God should live their lives as Jesus did. Claiming to be a follower of Jesus does not make you a follower of Jesus. This is a conversation I have with one of my unbelieving friends over the internet. He looks at all the people who claim to be Christians, who are bomb-dropping, hate-filled, you know, whatever it may be. And I say, just because someone claims to be a follower of Jesus does not make them a follower of Jesus. Jesus said, by their fruit you will know them, right? The confirmation of our salvation is that we will look more and more like Jesus, according to this. The issue is that many people hear but don't do. And this is not new, by the way, to the church. I found this great passage in the Old Testament, the book of Ezekiel. And for those of you who have ever been a teacher in the church, in any kind of authority, you might be able to relate to this passage. It goes like this. So my people come pretending to be sincere, and they sit before you, pastor, teacher, small group leader. They listen to your words, but they have no intention of doing what you say. Their mouths are full of lustful words, and their hearts seek only after money. You are very entertaining to them. Like someone who sings love songs with a beautiful voice or plays fine music on an instrument. They hear what you say, but they don't act on it. How often around the world, pastors, teachers, they lay it all out. They call the charge. They sound the alarm. They ring the bell. They blow the battle horn, and nothing. Smiles, nods, a little bit of fidgeting, the odd glance at the clock, a tummy gurgle here or there, maybe an odd amen way in the back. But no change. May that never be the case in the Nanaimo Alliance Church. Amen. James wrote, don't just listen to God's word. You must do what it says. Otherwise, you are only fooling yourselves. Paul wrote that the whole deal with being a Christian is this: all must repent of their sins and turn to God and prove they have changed. Prove they have changed by the good things they do. deeds over beliefs. Prove you have changed by the good things you do. Apologist Josh McDowell says this: no message will sink in faster or take root deeper than one that is demonstrated by the nature of our lives. We must show that it means something to us before we can expect it to mean anything to them. I sometimes wonder, and I ask myself this question, is the church not attracting new believers in Canada? Because we're really not that different. Some will say, as long as I believe the right things, that's what being a Christian is all about. And a lot of people think that being a Christian is just a list of sins to avoid. Any of you familiar with the seven deadly sins? Some of you, yeah? Lust, gluttony, greed, laziness, anger, envy, pride. I don't know who came up with that list, but it's a list that has survived the test of time. And if all you knew about Christianity, you'd think, oh, Christianity is just about avoiding these things. And so the church in medieval times came up with a counter list to this. And they called it the seven works of mercy. Watch this. To do. To feed the hungry. Give drink to the thirsty. Clothe the naked. House the homeless. Visit the sick. Ransom the captive, bury the dead. Thing is about that list, they're all action items. None of them are belief items. It's all get out and do. You're a follower of Jesus? Get out and do. Deeds over beliefs. Now, I have some questions, and before I ask these questions, I'll tell you straight up, these are as much for me as they are for you. But let's consider them. Number one, has my friendship with God resulted in a vastly different lifestyle from those around me? Emphasis on the vastly. Good news, it can. Second question, does my level of good deeds towards others outshine all others? That teenager talked about outshining the atheist and the Hindu and all that sort of thing. Does your good deeds outshine those of other faiths? Good news, it can. Number three, do I depend on the Spirit in me to do good deeds? Because that's really what it's all about. You can go out and try. I've done this. You can go out and try to be a real good person and do all kinds of good things, but without the Spirit's help, you will fail. I'm just telling you up front in case you want to experiment. You need the Holy Spirit's empowerment to do these things. Number four, are my good deeds growing and getting riskier, or are they shrinking back and becoming more convenient? My hope is that over time, as we grow older in Christ, that we'd be more comfortable with risk, sticking our necks out, and having our good deeds become more inconvenient for us. And number five, which is really the point of this whole thing, do I hide behind my beliefs as the sole proof of my salvation? And good news, you don't have to. Joe Aldrich said, Christians are to be good news before they share the good news. I believe the church can be the most loving, accepting, joy-filled, carefree, peace-bringing, inviting, hospitable, hardworking, contented group of do-gooders on the planet. When it comes to Nanaimo, I don't expect all of Nanaimo to agree with our message, but I do expect that if we are following Jesus, they will be happy that we're here because we're making a difference. A Spirit-led child of God can change a neighborhood, a workplace, a club, an apartment building, a family. So what do we do? Very simple. If you want to apply the message this morning, this is real easy. You pray a prayer. two parts, two words each. Can you remember four words? I'm pretty sure you can. Oh, I missed it. So here's the prayer. Number one, use me. Use me. God, use me. That's the first prayer. Second one, change me. Use me and change me. Imagine what would happen if you woke up every morning and you prayed, God, use me, and God, change me. Powerful, powerful prayers. Because God will use us the more we become like Him, so we have to change. But God will also change us as we're being used by Him. The two go hand in hand. You have to have both. Deeds over beliefs. This answers the question, what is the greatest proof of my salvation? Is it my deeds or is it my beliefs? Is it that prayer that I prayed years ago? Or that testimony I gave at my baptism or my confirmation class? Or is it when I agreed with the Alliance Statement of Beliefs? Is that the greatest proof of my salvation? And according to the Bible, the answer is no. The greatest proof of our salvation is our actions, our deeds. That is the proof of our salvation. I'll tell you something from my heart. This city and this world is looking for proof. They want to see us living our faith. The church of the 20th century will advance only if they see us doing and not just hear what we believe. Now, don't get me wrong. Hearing what we believe is important. It is. But ultimately, they need to see us doing. The world is watching you. Your family is watching you. Your workplace is watching you. Your neighborhood is watching you. What will they see? Statement of beliefs? And you check, 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 check. Are they going to see your faith in action? You actually feeding the poor and helping the sick and visiting the lonely? Is that what they're going to see? Because that is a very powerful testimony to what you believe. And not so much just checking off the right boxes. Church, we have the opportunity to reach this city for Christ. And I've been really paying attention to what the needs are in this city. And I'm still getting a feel for the city. But I know this city needs to see Nanaimo Alliance Church doing good in our community. Not just sitting back and saying, I believe all the right things. So I want you to join with me in praying that the leadership and the people of this church will figure out where we are best suited to make a difference in this city. Because I want to draw attention. I don't want to draw attention to Nanaimo Alliance Church. That's not what it's about. But I am very excited about drawing attention to our Lord. Because this city needs Jesus. I'm sure I don't have to convince you of that. Our world needs Jesus. And we are the greatest advertisements for Him. So join with me in praying for God's wisdom and His discernment to know where it is we need to serve. Because ultimately, the proof of our salvation comes in deeds. And not just our beliefs. Let's pray. Father, this is a church that is full of the Holy Spirit. Many of us have been followers of You, Lord Jesus, for a long, long time. And I know that there are many people in this room who do show their faith. They show their beliefs by what they do. And others of us, Father, maybe need a nudge in that direction. Maybe we need a big push in that direction. We've been hiding behind our right beliefs, going to war over truth, rather than getting busy showing our faith. showing our beliefs. So, Lord, for those of us who have been hiding, we ask for your forgiveness. For how often we have chosen the more comfortable path. And we ask, Father, for your wisdom and your discernment to know how we as a church can join hands and walk into this community and make it a better place and advance the kingdom of God and show people that Jesus is real and Jesus is alive and Jesus changes lives today. God, we call out to you. This is bigger than a pastor. It's bigger than a board. It's going to take your power working through the church to accomplish this. So we cry out to you this morning and ask for your help. Lord, we don't want to be a people that just believes the right things. We want to be out there doing. We ask this in the name of our powerful, majestic, and glorious Savior, Jesus the Christ. Amen. Over to you, my friend.